official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Save his life, call his wife, and
405 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. Nothing to do. Gotcha for another hour until the warm-up show comes your way at 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019. Touched on a bunch of different things, obviously Juan Soto. We open with the Knicks, though, after a disappointing loss to the Atlanta Hawks, 121-116. They blew a five-point lead late after a excellent, what felt like a winning play on a block that was initially called a goaltend from Towns, turned back into a block, five-point lead, 2.5 minutes left. And this team that's still finding itself, continues to find itself and look for itself, rather, and struggled in the fourth quarter. Brunson with 3 points and three shots. Like, it's just, we all knew it was going to take some time and it was going to look different than last year's team. And it certainly has. And early on, maybe it's because we've been wrapped up in the World Series and the Juan Soto stuff and our two teams either tanking or trading or firing coaches or whatever else has been going on. We haven't paid attention too much to the New York Knicks. This is the first loss that really bothered me with the Knicks. So we spent some time on that. And I want to get to Joe Douglas real quick as we will transition, obviously, tomorrow, 2 a.m. No three straight five-hour midnight ride. Sorry. But I'll be back at 3 a.m. tomorrow after tonight's football game. Did I say 3 a.m.? That was a mistake. 2 a.m. 4 or 3 hour show. That's where that's probably where I messed up. 3 hour show. It's a 3 hour tour. You understand. We will transition. Big game for the Jets, not so much for the Giants, although I think you could argue losing that game is as important a loss as this team will have all year. And Daniel Jones will still be the quarterback. I don't understand it. And they didn't trade anybody away. I don't understand it. But hey, let's focus on the team that actually has a chance to win a game and make a difference, as the Jets are 3-6 and coming off an excellent second half with a great catch from their great young wide receiver that seems to have figured it out with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, who looked more mobile than he has at almost any point this year, other than maybe the Thursday night New England game all those weeks ago, where we felt like the team was about to take off, and instead they go on to lose five straight games. But they have an excellent second half against the wide receiver depleted Texans, but nobody's apologizing for victories. And now they'll take on an Arizona Cardinals team that has played well, and Kyler Murray has played relatively well, and the defense has done okay. And they've been a little bit of an up-and-down team, but they are right in the mix of things out there in the NFC West. And this is an important game, obviously, as they need to win as many games as possible. And so the general manager did speak to the media for the first time in a long time since the beginning of the season, I gather. And Joe Douglas, who, let's be honest, is on the hot seat. This is all, you know, it's been a long time. He got a five-year deal. It's been a long time as the GM. It's been a long time since he was hired after the draft, after they fired McKagan. It's been a long time that he's been running this team, a long time in some of the same failures. The quarterback, obviously, in drafting Wilson, the inability to continue to build and get better with the offensive line, a team that he's put together here and went out on a limb and traded for, you know, the Hall of Fame, four-time MVP, Aaron Rodgers, only to watch it never take place last year, and now got off to a miserable start. So a lot of pressure on Douglas, obviously an owner who, I don't know, might get back into the diplomat game. Who knows now that Donald Trump is going to be president again. But an owner who had makes a decision on the coach without him, he had to answer questions about. Obviously, a extremely disappointing season. And that was one of the takeaways, was the Robert Saleh stuff, because we haven't heard from Joe Douglas since Robert Saleh was relieved of his duties. And, you know, the quotes on that, the cuts on that were pretty much just, you know, Woody said everything. In other words, you know, I had nothing to do with it. And that's really, and that's the feeling you're getting right now. Not that he has nothing to do with it, but I'm going to play a cut from you here that sounds like a GM who is, I don't know, broken in many ways. Like, it's been a rough go as the GM of the New York Jets. In many ways, his hands have been tied, and I don't know if that's completely fair or not, but it feels like decisions have been made about the quarterback that have felt even higher than him when it came to Zach Wilson. There have been reasons, you know, working for Woody Johnson has not been easy. No other GM has had success really doing it, for the other than maybe Mr. T for a little bit, Mike Tannenbaum for a couple of years with Rex. But I'm going to play a clip here about, and I think the cut is asked about his future or, you know, his job security, which clearly is up for grabs. I mean, the guy, again, has been here for 5 years, and they have not had a single winning season in that time frame. They have the most talented roster, the owner's words and my words, that this team has had in a long time, and yet they are 3-6. They had lost 5 straight games to the likes of the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos, teams that they are better than, teams that they should clearly be beating. And now their season is on life support, needing, what, 7 out of the final 8, 6 out of the final 7, if they're going to find themselves in a playoff position. But this general manager, who has had a mixed bag of results, good drafts, bad drafts, has done an excellent job trading away pieces, certainly for draft picks, and has done good things, bad things, but ultimately has not won and is under a very tumultuous owner who's had his fingerprints all over this organization since coming back from London and decided to fire the coach pretty much without consulting the GM. He made a comment here in this cut that is very telling for me, especially the beginning of it, if you want to listen to it. This is Joe Douglas when asked about his future here at the New York Jets.
I think Colin Powell said it in a different arena, but I serve at the pleasure of the owner. And so my single goal is to help this team get to the goal of a championship. And so, obviously, again, not the start that anybody envisioned, but we still have it all in front of us. And, you know, it's just doing the little things better and executing and stacking some wins.
I have to admit, now maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I serve at the pleasure of the owner sounds like a defeated man. Right. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe he's just pulling cliches, as many people do when they do public speaking. But I got to tell you, I serve. When asked about Robert Saleh, he's got nothing to say. When asked about his tenure here, it's I serve at the pleasure of the owner. I mean, that sounds like someone who recognizes decisions have been taken out of his hands. It sounds like someone who's had a situation with a young quarterback that he drafted. And I don't know if he wanted to draft the young quarterback or not. Was told to, I don't know, but he's the guy who made that decision. But it's felt like whether it's been who's the backup for Aaron Rodgers, what to do with Zach Wilson, what to do with the quarterback position, what to do moving forward, what to do with the head coach. It just feels like this GM, that's been a mixed bag, to be fair. Not trying to defend every move he's made, but a GM that's been in a very difficult situation working for a very difficult, unsuccessful organization and a very difficult owner who now... has gone out on a limb and went and traded for a Hall of Fame quarterback to bring here to change the losing that this franchise has done forever, only to see it fail, only to see him get hurt, only to see it squandered, only to see the team get off to a bad start, and now the owner is making unilateral decisions on the head coach, which certainly feels like he had nothing to do with. The team is failing. He's on the precipice of being fired for it all. And it sounds like a guy who, to me, isn't happy with his standing, isn't sure how much power he has, and isn't sure how he'll be viewed by other organizations after probably being walked into a couple of different decisions that he might not have even been comfortable with. I mean, I serve at the play. I mean, this isn't the president here. Like, you're not Rob Lowe, and this isn't the West Wing. Like, it just seems like an odd answer. And some of them, the inability to even say anything. Like the Robert Saleh cut. Do we have that one as well as the Robert Saleh? I know we didn't talk about it in the leagues. Is the Robert Saleh one where he gives no answer? Because there's something missing from the Robert Saleh answer as well. Where is the, if you listen to it, if we have it, there's something missing to me in the Robert Saleh answer. This is about Robert Saleh being fired.
Woody spoke afterwards. I don't really have anything to add, any comment to add. All I can say is that since that decision's been made, all my energy, all my focus has been doing whatever I can to help Rick, his staff, in the locker room turn this thing around.
All right, well, first of all, if you get the since that decision's been made, which obviously makes you feel like he had no input into that decision. Once the decision was made, all my focus was on this, but... Here's the other thing, too. Like, and I know they put out statements or whatever, but wasn't that an opportunity to, thank Robert Saleh for, the time here? Or I know, he didn't even want to get into that. Like, he didn't even want to say, I have nothing to say about that. All I know is, Robert was, I enjoyed working with him. He did a lot to help this team. And now my focus, nothing on Saleh. He didn't want to say anything. This guy literally had no answers in this press conference. And when asked about his job, it's I serve at the pleasure of the man. Like, it just feels like that is a broken GM. He had nothing to say about the, it didn't even have the wherewithal. And again, I know, statements were put out and we all understand how he feels. Robert Saleh, I'm sure he has nothing bad to say about him. But still, in that moment, asked about him the first time in the question, which wasn't in the cut. I remember listening to it. In the question, it's like, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since Robert Saleh's been fired. Like, what did you think about the Robert Saleh firing? Like, nothing. No, hey, Robert did agree. He doesn't even want to go there. He doesn't want to speak. He doesn't want to say anything. When asked about his future, it's I serve. I'm here. What do you want from me? I'm not making decisions on the coach. Like, I'm here. I serve at the pleasure of the owner of this team. Like the great Colin Powell once said, I serve. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounded a little bit defeated. It sounded a little bit broken. It sounded like, what do you want me to do? Nothing goes right here. Nothing goes right here. Like, that's what it, and maybe that's the knowledge of that fact in my mind as I listen to it, but hey, listen, I'm doing everything I can to win, blah, blah, blah. No, I serve. Don't ask me. You're talking to the wrong guy. Ask the owner. I serve at his pleasure. I'm here. I'm not here. Next year I'll be gone. Next year I'll be here. I don't know. Whatever. On Tuesdays, they have tacos. Pizza Hero Thursday is my favorite day of the week. Like, that's what it sounds like. It's just a defeated man. 888-808-1019. Andy in Bayside. What's up, Andy?
I'm speaking to the award-winning Chris McMonaco, Big McAdoo. Congratulations on being just award-winning, with your being the first person to announce the new presidency yesterday. Right, that was great.
You did it for me, Andy. But yes, what award do I get for that? Do I get to, like I said, do I get to put this microphone and the sweatshirt I was wearing in the Hall of Fame or something? That would be interesting.
The award you get is breaking the story of the year. To be the first,
well,
that's unbelievable.
I guess it was the story.
Mac, also, yeah. A lot of people don't know. Donald Trump is a big fan of sports radio.
Uh-huh.
He was a big fan of the Bob Grant Show, and you know who used to call Bob Grant Show, right? But anyway, your show is great, Chris, and I just want to this free agency thing. Could we actually, Chris? Could we come up with a list of teams that would even be willing to pay that kind of money to Soto? Is there, how many teams are there?
Well, I mean,
you know the Yankees.
Yeah, good.
You know the Yankees.
You know the Mets. There have been other reports. I mean, believe it or not, the Rays apparently have made a call to check in on Juan Soto. I mean, that's how you want to know how a free agent is worth the money. If the Rays check in on you, you know you are worth the money because they don't give the money to anybody. So, but John Heyman has the Rays, the Red Sox. I've heard the Cubs. There's a handful. Listen, he's so great. There's going to be a handful of teams that at least want to hear what the number is and get an idea for what they're talking about before they just dismiss it. That's how great Juan Soto is. But, yeah, I mean, if I get an award, I'm in. But Andy called in last night, wanted to break the news of Donald Trump becoming the president again. But I guess I did. I guess I was the first one. I mean, I'm sure Fox News beat me to it. But yeah, I was the first one on sports radio, maybe. I don't know. Or this station, for sure. I was the voice of this station when we found out for certain that Donald Trump would be the next president of the United States. Peter in Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Well, Chris, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You are one my niece makes great tacos on Tuesday. My little Rachel.
Well, listen. When Joe Douglas is out at the Jets, maybe he can you guys can make him some tacos because he's going to miss tacos at the Jets facility.
Because you are correct. He has been thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
And
it just feels like that press conference. Like it's almost like. And was there a particular reason? I know they're not on the bye, so it's not like that's typically when GMs would speak. Did I miss something? Is there a reason why? They did a mid-season report because the bye is so late. Typically, GMs will talk during the bye, so I was curious why he decided to speak yesterday. But it just sounds like you weren't going to get, like, oh, yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah, I don't know. I serve at the pleasure of the owner. Like, you know, that's it.
Yeah,
I had nothing to do.
I've been an owner, and
when that decision, right, when the decision was made to fire the head coach, when that decision was made, I just focused, like, in other words, it felt like I didn't help make that decision. That decision was thrusted upon me to fire the head coach. And since then, I've been serving at the pleasure of the owner. Like, that's what it feels like, dead man walking.
True. And I am all in for Juan Soto. Give him the money.
That's right, Peter. You give him the money. Give him the money. Of course you give him the money. There's no doubt. Like, again, because we spent a lot of time, there's so many different angles to the Juan Soto thing, whether or not who's going to want him, who's going to be in, how much money is it going to be, can the Mets do it, will the Yankees be able to match the Mets, how close is close, if the Yankees are close, okay, Andy Martino's reporting that if the Yankees are close, he was happy enough here and his dad was dancing with the other dads of the Yankees, and it was just great, and so if it's close, it's close, and he'll probably come back, and well, what's close, and you know, like, there's a million different things, but I'm starting to feel like, whether I heard it on the midday show a little bit, I heard callers calling into Keith on my way in, talking to a couple of Yankee fans in my own life, like, I'm starting to hear, and this is what I focused on with the Juan Soto conversation around today, that many Yankee fans either believe this or are trying to lay the groundwork for not being disappointed when he signs with the Mets or anybody else. But if you believe the Yankees are better off not signing Juan Soto at almost any price, I disagree with you. I mean, I don't think you can build a better team than bringing back Juan Soto. He's 26 years old. You're going to get arguably the best, second best, third best, top of the sport hitter, Hall of Fame hitter for the next 10 years without question at his best. Like, typically, Judge signs a 9-year contract at 30 years old. You're hoping for 4 or 5 good years. You sign Juan Soto to a 12 to 15-year contract. You can lock in a decade of top of the sport baseball. A decade. That is extremely rare to say. He's the guy, he's the difference maker that just put them. Everybody was, all you did was Soto. Not enough. And not to get on him, because I understand why he said it, but I mentioned the midday show. I remember Sal in particular. How do you think you're going to make up 20 games in the division to the Orioles with only Juan Soto? It's not enough. Well, they did. And he was the guy who led them back to the World Series for the first time in 15 years. Juan Soto did that. He hit the home run that sent them to the World Series. And despite what you hear from the Dodgers or anybody else, they were in the World Series. They did win the American League Championship. And they were one of the two final teams in all of baseball. And they hadn't been that since 2009. Juan Soto is a player who you pay. Juan Soto is the guy, if you have the ability, to bring in. You don't try and say, well, I could get 4 guys. First of all, you can't. Juan Soto, at the most, is going to make $50 million this year. $50 million. You are not getting 4 really good players in this free agency for $50 million. And also, other teams are going to look to improve their team in free agency. It's not like, oh, if I don't get Juan Soto, I'll just pick up the top 3 free agents on the market. There are other teams who are going to want Corbin Burns. There are going to be other teams who want Christian Walker and Pete Alonso and Santander, and it's not like the Yankees aren't going to say, well, I didn't want to spend money on Juan Soto, so I'll just outbid everybody. They're going to do what they think. Like, Brian Cashman's going to sign Santander, if he can, to what he deems a reasonable contract. And if the other teams like the San Francisco Giants or the Toronto Blue Jays or the Baltimore Orioles, who now have a new ownership group, think they lost out on Juan Soto and need to improve their team or whatever, they might be willing to overpay for Santander. And why would the Yankees do that? If I'm going to overpay for someone, it's going to be Juan Soto, not Santander. And then you make it sound like, oh, they'll get everybody and those four guys will improve the team more than Juan Soto. Like, no, they won't. Go get Juan Soto and then improve the team on the margins and the base running and the defense. You can still do that without impacting the other top free agents or spending big-time money. Put $50 million a year or $45 million a year into Juan Soto and then improve with a defensive first-minded second baseman. Improve with a guy who doesn't strike out. Improve with more younger athletic players who can run the bases better. That's all I'm being told is that's how they were beat. It's how the Dodgers viewed them. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. The Jets and their ownership group and how they've beaten down this GM over the last 5 years. Their game on Sunday against the Cardinals, their likelihood of running the table or at least one, you know, maybe one more loss to get them back into the playoff picture. I still can't stand trading Mike Williams to the Pittsburgh Steelers, no less, who added a pass rusher as well. And you've just helped the team you're theoretically competing with if you're going to get back into this thing. So I didn't understand that. And Lazard's hurt. And you could use as many good players as possible, even if they are, you know, less important now with the addition of Davante Adams. And even if him and the Hall of Fame quarterback haven't seen eye to eye, I still don't know if it's worth a fifth round pick. So I don't know if I love that move. I certainly don't love what I heard from the GM in his midseason meeting. I don't like what the Giants have done at all. Daniel Jones needs to stop being the quarterback, and they need to go about losing this game against Carolina because they need a better pick. The football season sucks. It's just unbelievable. I said it yesterday. It is so disappointing to me that on November 6th or 7th or whatever today is, that I couldn't be sad about the Yankees and that miserable, disgusting loss. And now hearing every single no-name Los Angeles Dodger out there stomping all over their graves, that I couldn't try and redirect that or make me forget it or put that aside and jump right into a football season, you know, with both feet and just get all involved in a football season that it's already dead. That my football team couldn't be there for me to make me feel better about my miserable end of a successful otherwise baseball season, that it's already dead the first week of November is just bothering me to no end. I should be able to be like, man, they got a winnable game in Germany, 9:30 in the morning. I'm going to wake up early. You know, I'm going to throw a little amaretto in my coffee and have a nice little football Sunday at 9:30, have a good breakfast, and watch some football out in Germany against a miserable team. The Giants should win this one. Get back to 500, I don't know, have some kind of season, and instead, I'm talking about I hope they lose. It's the worst.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And apparently the Dodgers aren't the only people who like to take shots. Wink Martindale in the news today. As the defensive coordinator at Michigan taking shots at the New York Giants, saying how much he loves it there. He loves the players. He loves being, you know, in college. It's a different game, but he loves being there. He loves the players, loves doing what he's doing. And hey, it's a lot better than being some other places that are 2-7. Taking a shot at the New York Giants. Wink Martindale on the 3-3 Michigan Wolverines. Out of the NFL. Taking shots at the New York Giants. Why not? At least the Yankees are in the World Series, then they piss me off when people take shots. You're 2-7. that's when I expect people to take shots at 2-7. Right? Never mind the fact that the defense has actually been pretty good this year, better than last year. And they've actually gotten pass rush and gotten and lead the league in sacks, which Wink Martindale hated sacks. And again, I'm glad he's gone, to be totally honest with you. I think the head coach had to win that battle. Wink Martindale and his underlings were leaking stories. We all know it. But hey, listen, this is the difference really between the what bothers me about the Yankees and why I'm ho-hum about this. When you're 2-7, shots are warranted. Wink Martindale, even 3-3 coaching in college, can take shots at the New York Giants at being 2-7. You got their fan base, and they, you know, me, myself included, more than others, hoping they lose against Carolina and Germany. That's, you know, 2-7, you get shots. What's bothering me about the Yankees is they were in the World Series. You went last year, 82-80, shots. That's when shots are warranted. 82-80, most miserable season in 30 years, warranted. The Dodgers showing no class and a bunch of guys who weren't even involved in winning the World Series, you know, jumping, you know, stomping on the grave of the New York Yankees with like some some scouting report. Now again, Rojas in this most recent podcast was asked the question, but I understand that he didn't just volunteer it the way it sounds like Joe Kelly did, who's got an axe to grind with the New York Yankees. But still, you got meaningless players on a championship team filled with superstars stomping on the Yankee grave after the manager said he was terrified of losing that game and heading back to Los Angeles. Whatever. But Wink Martindale taking shots at the New York Giants is laughable a little bit because Wink did a terrible job last year. He had a great first year, miserable last year. His defense, I know they added Burns or whatever, but this defense has gotten after, not last week against Washington, no sacks, but has done a much better job getting after the quarterback, which is something Wink Martindale almost didn't believe in, as it took the great Kayvon Thibodeau to be the first player in his defensive history to have double-digit sacks in a Wink Martindale defense. But, you know, that's what happens when you're 2-7, man. Shots get taken. That's the Giants' fault. They opened it up for that. And Brian Daboll, who obviously had an issue with Wink Martindale, is, you know, decided to take on the responsibility of being the offensive play caller and taking on the offensive, you know, game plan. And it's been a disaster. I'm surprised he didn't, you know, bring up that. But all he did was say the record. But if you want to talk about it, Wink Martindale had a problem with the coach. The coach had to win that battle if he was going to stay the coach. Wink Martindale had to go. They bring in a new defensive coordinator in Bowen, who's done a decent enough job. Early on, it looked shaky. His bend but don't break kind of mentality looked like it was going to be a disaster. It's stiffened up a little bit. They've done a good job of getting after the quarterback, certainly. I haven't double-checked if they still do with no sacks last week, but going into last week, they led the NFL in sacks. Dexter Lawrence has even taken a further step up. They've gotten some good play out of some of their younger rookie defensive backs, although they have Banks given up on plays. So it's been a mixed bag defensively, but to me it's all about the offense with the New York Giants. And this head coach, who won that battle and decided to take play calling away from Kafka, has now led this team that is scoring less points than any team in the NFL, who, you know, up until last week couldn't get in the end zone in their own building. And again, are 2-7, and Wink Martindale can take shots from afar as they are tied for the worst record in the sport, and tied isn't good enough. I need the worst. That's where we are. 888-808-1019. Chris in Maryland. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. Good morning, man. Long time, first time. Just want to say you do a great show, dude.
Thank you, buddy.
Can I switch it back to baseball real
you
quick?
You certainly can.
Please let that other guy come on. You're talking about the Giants. did you hear that roster move that the Dodgers made yesterday? I don't know if you hit on that already. Moving Mookie Betts, their Gold Glove right fielder, back to the infield for next year, leaving a big hole in right field.
Yeah, like, I mean,
what are your thoughts on that?
I didn't see that. It's, you know, I don't know if there's a story just yet. I mean, listen, he was the shortstop, he's the outfielder, he's this, he's that.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be where they decide.
My point is, right now, today,
as the season just ended, where they say Mookie Betts is going to play is premature. They still have the roster to build. We don't know where Mookie Betts is going to play. I'm surprised if that was really.
I saw it on MLB. They said that 2025, you know, next season, they're going to play him. I don't think they're going to move a Gold Glove right fielder for an Anthony Santander or anything, you know?
Well, again,
even though he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, they started the year with him at shortstop. So, I mean, they moved him for nobody because they deemed the need at short after Gavin Lux looked like he couldn't play the position at the beginning of the year, and they were forced to put him at shortstop because that's the kind of player Mookie Betts is. But, again, if you're trying to insinuate that they are already moving things around to make room for Juan Soto and Wright. And I heard Evan and the afternoon show talking about this, about where what would be worse for the New York Yankees or any team. Like, yeah, I don't want them going to the Dodgers. I think it's ridiculous. There'll be a, you know, I mean, think of the top, literally. You would argue the top four of the Dodgers will end up being the top four of the National League All-Star team. Like, you are going to be hard-pressed to find any better player in the entire National League. I mean, Bryce Harper would have to have a great year, Manny Machado, obviously, but, like, you know, Fernando Tatis, if I'm missing anyone, excuse me, but, like, you could honestly, Acuna, like, you could argue that if they get Soto, their top four of the lineup is the top four best players in the National League. Like, that's, it's absurd. But is it as bad as for the Mets, them going to the Braves, or is it as bad for the Yankees as him going to the Red Sox? No, but it would galvanize the rest of the league because you could forget about the evil empire. There is one villain in Major League Baseball if Juan Soto goes to the Dodgers. And honestly, much like the Kevin Durant situation, I don't know how I'd feel about Juan Soto. Like, if Juan Soto goes to the Dodgers and then they pick up the next pitcher from Japan who apparently is better than Yamamoto, like, if they just become this super team that, like, if Juan Soto signs a contract where he defers the money or something crazy and, like, allows them to build this super team and goes there, it's like, what? All right, so you win. At that point, I know it's not basketball. It's different. Baseball's different. The last time the Dodgers were their best version, they won 111 games a couple years ago. The Padres picked them off in the first round. I get it. It's baseball. It's different. But, man, oh, man, if Juan Soto goes to the Dodgers, it's just absurd. It would be fun in one angle. They'd be the villain. And it would be all about making sure they don't win. We would all become Padre fans, San Francisco Giant fans, and then whoever they play in the playoffs, like Arizona Diamondback fans. We would all be anybody else in that division's fans because who the hell wants to see them win? But I don't think he's going there. I really don't. I think even the Dodgers draw a line somewhere. They're going to improve, no doubt, and they're going to add more pitching. Because they have pitchers who are either injury prone or they're coming back from injury and not pitching a lot of innings. Like, they'll probably add some pitching. I don't think they'll add a major bat like Juan Soto. I guess, right, and Teoscar Hernandez is going to be a free agent, so like they're going to need someone. I don't know if it's going to be the level of Juan Soto. 888-808-1009. Juan Soto is going one of two places. Can we put it all else to bed? He's not going to Tampa Bay. He's not going to Boston. He's not going to San Francisco. He's not going to L.A. He's going to one of two teams. He's going to the Mets or he's going to the Yankees. That is it. He's going to stay with the Yankees or he's going to leave for Steve Cohen's money. That's it. So enough with this. Enough. Come up with another angle. Come up with a more creative way to talk about Juan Soto than giving me fake teams, because it's not happening. The Rays have contacted. Yeah, the Rays have made a phone call, please. I'm not even sure the Rays can afford to collect phone call, let alone sign Juan Soto.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 448, McMonagle here with you. You know, we were just talking about shots real quick. And maybe I took it easy on Wink Martindale because the Giants are 2-7, but he could shut his pie hole too. Let's be honest. They're 3-3 out in Michigan. He was terrible last year. He had his underlings running sneak stories about the Giants. Like, his defense wasn't any freaking good last year. Forget Wink Martindale, man. Pipe down. They are 2-7, so it makes it easy. That's the only thing. It's hard to get upset when they're 2-7. They set themselves up for this. But shots aren't the moment of the day, apparently, because We also saw Trae Young take shots at Knicks fans, and we know the history between those guys. Remember that series and how he played and someone spitting on him and the whole nine. But after this game yesterday, where yet again the Atlanta Falcons take down the Knicks. What'd I say? The Atlanta Falcons, I'm sorry. 4:49 in the morning, I apologize. I was talking football. No excuses, I'm an idiot. Atlanta Hawks take down the Knicks. And Trae Young, after the game, was doing an on-the-court interview. And I guess you could see in the game, there was a lot of Knicks fans there. There was a lot of Knicks shirts, a lot of Knicks fans as they scanned the crowd. And they were still in the building at the end of the game. And Trae Young had a message for the Knicks fans as he was doing an on-the-court interview.
I hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real, real quick. Boo! Take y'all ass home.
That's the credit to FanDuel Sports with the cut. Yeah. Take y'all ass home. I'm going to have to. This guy has had quite the history at the New York Knicks, that's for sure. And the Knicks did blow the game late, which is, again, the first frustrating, real disappointing loss of the season. They're 3-4 now. They haven't played well. I didn't expect them to come out of the gate well. I don't know about 3-4 necessarily. Losing the final two games of the road trip to Houston and now Atlanta. Blowing a 5-point lead with 2:46 left. And just still not finding themselves. They have rebounding issues. They have... obviously, a depth issue right now. Scoring from the bench has become a real problem. I mean, it just feels like they're not going to get it unless McBride has a good night. And they're just finding their way. Bridges is still finding his way. Kat has had good games, but there's just a dynamic that isn't just right just yet. And no better example of it than last night with a chance to win this game. And in the fourth quarter, Jalen Brunson takes three shots and scores 3 points. Like, that is not Knicks basketball. It's not what we've come to know here under the new regime that is the Jalen Brunson era in Knicks basketball. He needs to figure out a way. I don't know if he's worried about getting Kat involved late in games or they're still working on this thing, but they have no depth. They're really struggling rebounding. They had 15 turnovers in this game. They're hitting their threes for the most part, not shooting as many as you'd like. But just the first real early season frustrating loss for the New York Knicks as they're now 3-4 and Trae Young is taking shots. Wink Martindale's taking shots. Anybody ever associated with the Dodgers who had nothing to do with the World Series taking shots. Shots, 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 shots. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not going to take a shot at my New York Knicks, but I'm going to take when, like last year, I got to go because I have it in me. I got to get out of this in my system. I talked to my son when this trade happened. I have a bad feeling about this trade.
Okay.
And nightmare that I never thought that 5 first-round picks for Bridges is okay. That is another pathetic trade that the next fan are going to say in years, oh, you want another Bridges from us? That's what they're going to say. 5 first-round picks for Bridges, whose shot is dead, who's cranking the shot up. Oh, my God. Forget about that. Yeah, come to Karl Anthony Towns. I can understand Karl Anthony Towns may be a better player than Julius Randle. But to get my point from last year was that when the Jets made the firing and they wanted to get rid of the offensive coordinator's play calling, and the Buffalo Bills did it a year ago, and then they went on a 6-0 run with Brady as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
At that time, they needed to do that because the head coaches, Josh Allen, was struggling, and that was a football move. They did it. He was about to do a football move and they fired the head coach. So when you copycat with the league and you do not do it what is right for your football team, that comes to haunt you. And when New York Knicks made a trade to trade David Chancellor, forget about Julius Randle, when they were 15-2 with Ananobi and Mitchell Robinson didn't even play and Bridges didn't even play, they didn't even give that attempt to that team. Forget about that. But to trade David Chancellor, the only crisp three-point shooter who can come off the screen and had a quick release in this team. And I know we take all year long to line up for a three-pointer. Bridges all year long to line up for a three-pointer. Even the Strungley from the bench, I like him as a player, but there is not a quick release three-pointer in this Knicks team. That's why they signed Matt Wine. They know that that's their deficiency. They miss DiVincenzo. And to put that player that showed up and showed to be the heart of a champion in Game 7 after 30 years, there's Game 7 of the Knicks, Madison Square Garden. And the only guy who showed up was DiVincenzo and who light up against Philadelphia 76ers. To trade this guy in that trade is going to come and heart the New York Knicks. New York Knicks are going to have a terrible year. I hope not, but I know that Julius Randle and Tibbs life, and he's not the same.
Yeah.
He's so messed up right now to Tibbs. Tibbs is so mad.
I hear you, and I will let you go longer, but it is the end of the show. I hear you, and this is what I talked about. This is what I talked about at the beginning. They're not only competing against the rest of the NBA, right now at least, with the fan base, they're competing with last year's team that the Knicks fell in love with. I mean, you're complaining. You're not even complaining about Julius Randle. You said forget Julius Randle over and over again. You're upset they added Bridges and traded for Towns and got rid of DiVincenzo. Like, and I understand why, but like when you look at the talent level and what came in and what went out, like, yes, he's got a quick release. Yes, he showed you the heart of a champion. I get it, but like, this guy, I mean, this is what I told you. And he gave the record of the team in January when OG Anunoby first got traded over, and they had everybody. They were the best team in basketball for a month, and they played unbelievably well. And then they showed all the heart and the fight, even despite the injuries and the great series against Philadelphia, which really was the best and most exciting series of the entire NBA postseason. Like, that team is beloved, and it's a low bar that the Knicks fans have had over the last 25 years, but that team was beloved. And to trade it away, like, again, I think most fans, Omar's a little excitable, but I think most fans understand a slow start a little bit. But eventually, you're going to get measured not only against who you're playing against, but you're going to get measured against what could have been. Because people believed, people were ready to chase that run again and believe that team that we saw in January was good enough to win. And you broke it down for this. And if you're going to struggle rebounding, you're going to struggle finding yourself, the ugly shot that Bridges has right now, the hitch at the top of his shot, and it's not falling, and he's scoring 10 points a game, and you traded all those first round picks for him, and the team is showing dysfunction and not closing games at the end, and you're getting off to a slow start while the Cavs are undefeated at 9-0. Like, this is what's going to happen. Mitchell and Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hi, Big Mac. First of all, I'd like to get to the Knicks, but I'll go to Omar tomorrow and talk about what he just said. But let's get to the Yankees. You know, I've heard since the end of the season, and what a disaster it was, Game 5. Every time, Big Mac, I was listening to you for the last 2 hours, going to JFK and coming back, just think about the Yankees, how they lost, which is horrible how it was.
Yes.
But, you know, if you go there, and I have season tickets, and you watch Soto in the outfield, how he comes out there, and he plays, he likes to roll call, he goes in the middle of the game, and he, you know, shakes kids' hands, he does other things. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Hal knows that he has to open up the bank book and just give him what he wants. And like you said, he's 26 years old. If you give him a 12-year contract, just say it's 12 years, you're going to get the next 10 years. He's the best baseball player in baseball. And I'll get to another point of it, but the caller also before Big Mac did say about Bettis. And I did hear from the GM from the Dodgers yesterday. He was on MLB. They are bringing him up because Bettis is too tired playing the outfield, so he's going to second base.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so he's going to go back to the infield. But I don't think that insinuates Juan Soto necessarily. And yeah, I mean, listen, I think we all understand that the Yankees understand they need to try and go get Juan Soto and put up a big number in trying to get him. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, I missed the game last night. Did the Falcons beat the Knicks?
Yes, they did. Believe it or not, the Falcons did win. Yep, 121-116.
Chris.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it. Brett's all over you. I did say the Falcons while he was on hold. It's a mistake. It's a big mistake I made. Big. All right. Bernadette, I'm very sorry. We'll get to you tomorrow. I'm on at 2 a.m. Thank you for always calling. I appreciate it. Thank you to the rest of you who called and listened.
Fleeg's on the other side. Thank you, too, sir. The warm-up show is next. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Hang with us here on The Fan throughout the day. You know you're getting the best content there is. Go back in the and if you don't like that content, just go back and listen to my show. You can get the Rewind app, a Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, and go back and listen to me. If not, I'll talk to you at 2 a.m. Until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan.